Isaiah 40, verse 3, it says, "A voice of one calling, in the desert prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight a wilderness, a highway for our God." You know, it's been noted throughout the service today. Today is the first Sunday of Advent. And it's a time for us to prepare a way of the Lord in each one of our hearts. To prepare the way and to see what God is going to do for each and every one of us. We need to prepare the way. Prepare the way. Really, really reflect upon that. Many times you have to prepare what things are going on. One of my favorite things to do this time of the year is to make snickerdoodles. Now, if you don't know what snickerdoodles are, we need to convert you. They are cinnamon sugar cookies. They are low in calories because they're just little ones. And you can only just eat one. Not only do I enjoy making them, but I enjoy eating them. And there are several ingredients that go into making these cookies, and the proper preparation, prepare the way, makes them taste good. You know, four of the main ingredients are, first, flour. Flour, you got to have all this flour. All this flour there, which serves as the base or the foundation. Throughout the foundation, the cookies would be flat. Much like our life in Christ, we need the foundation of Jesus in order for our life not to be flat. We need that foundation of Jesus Christ to stand firm on. 1 Corinthians 3:11 says, "For no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ." What kind of foundation are you laying in your life today? It talks in Scripture about how the men built a house. One was on a foundation of rock. One was on a foundation of sand. And when the storms came, the foundation was not sound, and the house was not built on that foundation of solid rock, they would be washed away. What kind of foundation are you building today in your life? What kind of foundation are you doing? Are you preparing the way in order to have the Lord God build that foundation upon you? Many of us sometimes need to have the foundation ripped up and to have a new foundation built. Have a new foundation built. The next ingredient there, and I'm glad my wife's not here because I have my own ingredients there. She'll probably say, "That's not right. That's not right." So that's okay. Is butter. Butter. The ingredients that holds everything together. The ingredients that holds everything together. When things are falling apart, we need the butter of Jesus, if you will, to hold us together. We need the butter of Jesus to hold us together. It says in Philippians 4:13, "I could do everything through Christ who gives me strength." What's holding you together today? What is holding you together? When things are falling apart in your life, what's holding you together? We're standing firm on the foundation of Jesus Christ, but what's holding you together that you're not blown apart, if you will? Many times that butter is that Spirit of God that holds us together. That holds us together, that truth that we have. As Claude talked about, the truth shall set you free. The truth of God that holds us together, that brings us together. The next ingredient is, and this is one of my favorite ones, sugar. Sugar. The sweetness of the cookie that makes it good. It's much like that sweet aroma of Christ. In 2 Corinthians 2:15, "For we are to God the aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing." As believers, what kind of fragrance are you bringing to somebody that you're involved in? Is your fragrance you have that people think of you of just that sweetness that is there that they want to be drawn to? Are you like the honey that people want to flock to? What's it say about sugar? I need my wife to help me remember this one, but I forget now. But the things about bringing things to honey. Anyway, you can remember it. But also another part of that is the cinnamon that goes along. Now, if you don't know everything, you put the cinnamon and sugar together, then you roll all that stuff together, and I'll get back to that. But you roll them into there. But the cinnamon, the spice that adds that extra flavor of the cookie that makes you want to come back for more. It's much like sugar. It's the fragrance that people are attracted to. And each of these ingredients are molded together by rolling them into a ball and placing them on a cookie sheet and bake for 10 to 12 minutes until golden brown and they're ready to be enjoyed. One of the joys I have about snickerdoodles is that when Ben was about 4 years old, my three sons would get into the kitchen and Sue would go out of the kitchen and she could not correct us about what we were doing to make these cookies. And we'd make 12 dozen, 15 dozen cookies with a 4-year-old and a 7-year-old and an 11-year-old. And we'd all have Dad there making the cookies. Sean, this is what you should be doing with your boys. And Mindy has to get out of the kitchen because flour would be all over the place. You'd have a great time. And we'd come together. We'd just mold these cookies together. But it was a great time and experience. And you never know what memories might be brought forth. And I felt as the boys were getting older. In fact, for a couple of years, we didn't make it. We didn't make them. All of a sudden, Tim, our middle son, about 4 years ago, emailed me and says, "When are we making cookies?" And I thought they'd all forgotten about it. A memory. So we did last year. We had the three grandsons together making the cookies. So more of the sons today. And we've got that already scheduled on the calendar down the way to make more cookies. So Sue can go and have some. Do you want to come over? No, you can't come and join. But they're ready to be enjoyed. They're ready to be molded together. Romans 9:21 says, "Does not the potter have the right to make out of the same lump of clay some pottery for noble purpose as some for common use?" God's preparing the way as He's molding each one of us. God's preparing the way as He molds us and brings His ingredients in there for those noble purposes and some for ignoble purposes. He's preparing that way. He's the potter that is shaping each one of us. And we don't know what type of shape we're going to become. But God is continually working in each one of us. You know, as life goes on, our shapes change. Some are good shapes, and some are not too good of shapes. I'm not going to judge. But 2 Corinthians 4:7 to 10 says, "But we have this treasure." Think of yourselves as a treasure. We're that treasure today in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side. How many of you feel that way today, being pressed together? You know, cookies are pressed together. They roll into a ball. They're pressed together. If we're not pressing hard enough together, they don't come out in a great shape. They don't come out in a very nice way. But they're not crushed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. You know, as the baker shapes the dough and forms the cookie, so the Lord forms us. So the Lord forms us. And it's amazing to me what happens. I'll share a little bit more about that. He puts us through the fire. How many of us today feel like we're put through the fire? We're put through the fire of what God's doing in each one of our lives. Many times that fire is there to purify us. It's to burn away the stuff that's in our lives. It's to burn away the dross. It's to burn away the thorns and the stuff that is just the garbage that is in our life. Believe me. But it goes back to He puts us through the fire as the cookies are baked in order to be fully done. And many times we sometimes say, "Lord, I don't want to be part of that fire." But God's saying, you need to be in that fire in order to be done, in order to be shaped correctly. As a potter in terms of clay, my sister-in-law does this. She's a potter, and she puts the stuff, and she gets the clay, and she molds it and whatever else. If I were trying to mold that, you would never understand what it is. But she's a potter. She's a master potter. And when she forms the clay, out comes this beautiful cylinder, whether it's a vase, whether it's a bowl, whether it's plates. But she has to refine it in the fire. If it doesn't go into the fire, it's not molded together. It's not coming together. God has to put us through the fire. And believe me, as you have the snickerdoodles, no two snickerdoodles are alike. No two snickerdoodles are alike. And no two persons today are alike. Each one of us is different. Each one of us is made in the image of God. God has prepared the way for us to be that way. But however, because they're made in love, they're perfect. I want you to know today that you're perfect in God's eyes through Jesus Christ. The greatest critic that is in each one of our lives is ourselves. Jesus Christ doesn't criticize us. All He does is love us. Jesus Christ accepts us exactly where we're at. But we don't accept ourselves where we're at. Jesus Christ has molded us perfectly under the scope of His love, under His scope of His joy, under His scope of His hope, under His scope of His faith. Jesus Christ has molded us perfectly in that area. But just as we prepare the ingredients for the snickerdoodles and we bake them and now we're enjoying them virtually. Think of that right now. You're enjoying the snickerdoodles. So we need to prepare the way of the Lord, not only during this time of Advent, but every day if we focus our thoughts, not only on the birth of Christ, but on the cross of Jesus Christ. We do this by focusing on three major ingredients to a holy life in Christ. Matthew 22:37 says, Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind." The three ingredients that we've talked about today are heart, soul, and mind. You need all, not just one or two. For just like the ingredients of the snickerdoodles, you need all of the ingredients. Or they don't taste the same. Believe me, I know. I have missed some of those ingredients sometimes. And I've forgotten them. They just didn't taste right. I ate them, but they didn't taste right. But heart. The first one is heart. The life source of our physical body. The life source of our physical body. Jesus gave His heart for each and every one of us on the cross. When they pierced His heart, blood and water came out. He gave His all. He gave everything for each one of us. He expended every part of His being for each one of us. Are you willing to give your all for Jesus? As He prepares the way in your heart, are you willing to give all for Jesus? Or do you have this certain situation there, like presents you have under the tree, if you have a tree in terms of there, okay, these presents are for this person, and these presents are just for these person. Where God's saying, everything, He wants to give everything over to you, over to Him. Surrender all. When the going gets tough, do you stand up to it, or do you give up? Jesus Christ didn't give up when the going went tough. Even though He was on the carry the cross upon the cross. When He carried the cross, He never gave up. Many times our hearts are prepared by what we go through. The fire in our life. The different things that are happening in our life. We prepare ourselves for that. One of the joys we have of flock groups today is that sometimes we have more experienced people in a flock group, I wouldn't say old, than those that are not experienced. To help those that are not experienced to go through understanding what might be going on in their life. Those that have raised children to a certain level, or those that have gone through situations in their life. To be able to help the people that are going through that situation, it's going to be okay. You're going to be able to go through it. But also I look at this as our spiritual cardiovascular exercise as we go through it. Paul was great at this exercise. In fact, when he's proclaiming the cross of Christ, if you recall in the scripture, he was dragged out of the city, stoned, and left for dead. When he came to and against the judgment of those around him, I'm sure, it doesn't say this in scripture, but I'm sure there were people saying, "Paul, get out of here. Get out of here. Let's go. They've been to stone you. Get out of here." There was a lot of things going on in his life right then. Get out of here. But when he came to, he went right back into the city. Because he had a heart for them and a heart for God. He had prepared his heart for the way of Christ in his life. Where and how is God preparing your heart right now? Where is God preparing your heart right now? What areas of your life are you struggling in? Take it to the fact that God is preparing your heart right now, wherever you're struggling. God's preparing you for many different things that are happening in your life. The next thing is soul, the emotional part or feeling that a person experiences. When we prepare our soul for Christ, we need to turn our feelings over to Him. We need to turn our feelings over to Him. Our salvation is not based on feeling. Our salvation today is not based on feeling, but on the truth that Christ came into this world to die on the cross and restore us to the Father. That's fact. That is fact. It's not a feeling that we have. Oh, I feel that Christ died for me. It's a truth revealed. It is the fact that Jesus Christ came here as a little baby for one purpose, to become like one of us, to live 33 years and die on the cross in order to be restore us to the Father. That was His chief purpose. That was His mission. And that's what He wanted to glorify God in. It wasn't a feeling that He had. It was truth being revealed. The soul is the complete surrender of our life over to the Lord. One of the verses that was shared earlier today in our prayer time by Thurlow is in Psalm 42. As a deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for the Lord. As the psalmist declares, there's such a longing for the Lord. Do we have that complete longing in our hearts to have God in our hearts? As God prepared the way, and as we receive the preparation that is being there for God, for the longing of God in our hearts. And the last thing is man, his mind. As a man thinks, so in his heart he is. So I shared a couple weeks earlier, we need to prepare our minds for what God is going to do in each one of our lives. God is preparing us for some mighty things to happen. However, our thoughts need to be His thoughts, not our thoughts. We need to understand what God is doing. We can only do that when we prepare our mind to receive what God is going to be doing in each one of our hearts. We need to prepare our minds for the way of Christ in our lives. What does God want to change in your life today? Have you thought about that? I know I've been thinking about that in my own heart. What does God want to change in your life today? There are probably some things that, God, I wish You would change this. That's your thought. But what's His thought? God might be saying this way, you need to change this way. You haven't married it together. That's not His thought. And that's not your thought. Are you prepared to let Him change it? As He prepares the way, are you prepared to let that change? You know, God has a mighty things happening. Much as we needed all the ingredients to prepare for a great batch of snickerdoodles, so we need all these ingredients in our lives, heart, soul, and mind, to prepare the way of Christ to create a masterpiece in you. You ever thought of a masterpiece? Many mothers today have masterpieces on their refrigerators where their children have drawn things. Some of you don't understand what they're saying. It's their own interpretation. But there are masterpieces. And God has a masterpiece there. I want to share one thing there. It's just like like an old song. And since I'm not going to sing it. I am not prepared for that. My wife be saying amen. But the song is called Touch of a Master's Hand. It says, well, it was battered and scarred, and the auctioneer felt it was hardly worth its while. To waste much time on the old violin, but he held it up with a smile. Now, when we talk about the violin, one of the things that God has, and I'll get back to this in a second, but one of the things that God has shown me many times is in our family, we're a very musical family. I mean, Sue, if you didn't know, plays guitar. Now, she hasn't played guitar in a long time, but she plays guitar. Josh played the trumpet. Tim played the saxophone. Ben played the trumpet. I play the radio. I'll go back. Glad my wife's not here. I'm going to start at the beginning. Well, it was battered and scarred, and the auctioneer felt it was hardly worth his while. To waste much time on the old violin, that he held it with a smile. Well, it sure ain't much, but it's all we got left. I guess we ought to sell it too. Well, now who will start this bid on the old violin? This once more, and we'll be through. And then he cried out. And he cried, one, give me $1. Who will make it two? Only $2. Who will make it three? $3 twice. Now that's a good price. Now who's going to bid for me? Raise up your hand. Now just don't wait any longer. The auction's about to end. Who's got four? Just $1 more to bid on this old violin. Well, the air was hot and the people stood around as the sun was setting low. From the back of a crowd, a gray-haired man came forward and picked up the bow. He wiped the dust from the old violin, and he tightened up the strings. And he played out a melody, pure and sweet, sweeter than the angels sing. And then the music stopped, and the auctioneer, with a voice that was quiet and low, he said, now, what do I bid for this old violin? And he held it up with a bow. And then he cried out, give me 1,000. Who will make it two? Only 2,000. Who will make it three? 3,000 twice, you know that's a good price. Come on, who's going to bid for me? And the people cried out, what made the change? We don't understand. Then the auctioneer stopped, and he said with a smile, it was a touch of the master's hand. You know, there's many a man with his life out of tune, battered and scarred with sin, and he's auctioned cheap to a thankless world, much like that old violin. Oh, but then the master comes, and that old foolish crowd, they never understand the worth of a soul and the change that is wrought just by one touch of a master's hand. And then he cried out, give me 1,000. Who will make it two? Only 2,000. Who will make it three? 3,000 twice, you know that's a good price. Come on, who's going to bid for me? And the people cried out, what made the change? We don't understand. Then the auctioneer stopped, and he said with a smile, it was the touch. That's all it was. It was a touch of the master's hand. It was the touch of the master's hand. Oh, it was a touch of the master's hand. The master's hand today is working in each one of our lives. He's preparing the way. He's preparing the way. He's preparing our hearts. He's preparing our soul. He's preparing our mind that we might be restored. No matter where you are right now, you might be that old violin that the world will cast out. But the Lord is saying right now that God Himself, the Master, is touching you to be that wonderful violin, to play that beautiful music for Him. Amen. Let's just pray. Father, we just thank You today, Lord God. No matter where we are, Father, no matter where we are, Lord God, that we want to prepare the way to receive You. And we thank You today, Lord God, for just being with us, preparing our hearts and our minds and our soul, Lord Jesus. That, Father, the touch of the Master's hand, Lord God, that we just surrender all to You. And in Jesus Christ's name, amen.